This is a fight for American greatness and a fight for the future of our country. And there is a large number that just don't truly understand the phrase that this can't happen here. Well, it can happen here, and we can lose what we have. And, you know, a lot of people don't truly understand what a constitutional republic is, but that's what we have. Scott, and for the listeners that will hear you tonight, or for those that will listen to this in the future, the entire world is listening and the entire world is watching what is happening to our country. And many, many digital soldiers around the world who have reached out to me and supported my family and I through this endeavor that we have faced, they see their future, even if they live in another country, tied to America's future. We are that vital as a nation.
An old evil that has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath. This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
There is a real change, I think, that we have to work at getting within ourselves. And this may make some people uncomfortable today, the way I'm going to talk about faith. You have to understand that when I start this, I come from a different orientation to faith. It's not that I'm misinterpreting or trying to reinterpret, but I see faith, I see the Christian warrior as one of the strongest warriors ever in history. And I see the deviations that have happened since the founding of our nation, when we take the type of pastors and preachers and ministers that we had. They were very much in the era of the Black Robe Regiment. And we see where we are today, where we have primarily milquetoast. Oh, no other way to describe it. Our pastors and ministers and preachers today basically talk about compliance and sitting in a pew and praying and doing engagement, but there is no real hard line discussions about what's that limit and what's that line. We are at a very critical time in the history of humanity, and we have to constantly navigate the place between tolerance and intolerance. And that's part of that intro that I give every day. It's on every program, and it's there for a reason. Because if you don't understand where that line is, when you tolerate everything, you stand for nothing. And you really have to get that clear. And there's a line, ultimately, that we cannot pass. And there is such a thing as pure evil. So you have to balance those two. I'm not talking about your neighbor that believes in the Democrats and just doesn't want to talk to you because you wear a MAGA hat. That's where we deal with tolerance, temperance, grace, and patience. And God's extended hand of love, because we have to see past those artificial barriers. But when we get into the sorts of things like what we're dealing with in child pedophilia, and we're getting into these horrendous crimes that these people do, or their willingness to literally steal an election and put themselves in power and subjugate everybody to internment camps and self-imposed prisons, that's pure evil. Here's an example. I got word this morning from some people that we know. It's some friends that have a sister who's in a care home. She just went into a retirement home. And they're currently in a lockdown in this fake COVID thing. So imagine this. Here's a person who is an elderly person. There's no family around except for the community that they have put themselves in to live in. They're by themselves. This is what happens in their lockdown. They each have a room in this facility. So it's, if you've seen these retirement homes, kind of like small apartments. They're locked down to their room. They cannot visit with any guests in the facility. They cannot leave their room. And meals are brought to them by the attendants, and of course they're all masked up, and that's it. That's their whole social interaction. This particular person doesn't read much. They only have the mainstream media news, and they have their crossword puzzles they do. That's who they are. That's a death sentence. And whoever in that facility is supporting that, it's a crime. I don't care how you cut it. That's a crime of stripping humanity, and there's no justification for that. That's a line of intolerance for me. And it's not a line that I seek to go out and pray for them and hope they do well, because they're literally stripping away the humanity of somebody who's worked their whole life to look forward to a place of just relaxing and ending their life quietly. But instead, they've put them in a prison, and everybody that participates in that is now become a prison guard or a prisoner. All of this because people are worshiping fear. We have to get very clear on where these lines are. And there are many, and we have to be constantly aware of the line between faith and fear. The true way of where we go is really said best in John 14:6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the light. No one comes to the Father except through me." So when we sit there and we look at that for a moment, we ask ourselves, what's the path that Christ would take? And I'm going to say this, and it is intended to be harsh. There is this milquetoast perception of Christ as this sort of, he loved everybody and there's all this grace. Christ was a warrior. And I have a very different view of Christ. I think that he's portrayed very much as this sort of skinny, frail. I don't see that at all in Christ. Because my visions of Christ are somebody who's truly like strong like a warrior, powerful like a warrior. And what we perceive him, his spiritual strength and his physical strength, I think are intentionally downgraded because he was so strong. I mean, imagine a single person who through his ministry of travel and his sacrifices he made and ultimately the sacrifice on the cross transformed the known world over a process of about 100 years. There were Christianity took over the entire world. That's no small thing. That's what the Son of God did. So Christ is not a weak warrior. Christ, he is teaching us this very powerful walk of tolerance and love, but there is also a line that we see with Christ that is unbelievably powerful. And that line that Christ is walking is that line where ultimately it's like stepping in the middle of the stoning of the woman between him and those that are throwing stones and intervening and having the strength to ask these questions to force people to reflect on their physical action. But we also see the strength in Christ when he walks into the courtyard and flips tables and pulls out his whip. There is a line that we're reminded of that you must fight for. And we have to be clear on that in these coming days. You can see Christ as a docile lamb, or you can see Christ as a fierce lion. And I think it's both. But we have to understand that there's a time for the lion to come alive and to be present. The lion is an interesting one because the lion is a strategic predator. It doesn't go out and wantonly kill. That's not what the lion does. As a matter of fact, the lion has an enormous amount of tolerance and temperance to many things because it is the most powerful animal in the jungle, so to speak. But when the lion unleashes, it's unforgettable. And then it's over. It's violence with the speed and accuracy and deadliness that needs to be done. The sense of flipping the tables is that. You know, one of the things that we seldom talk about in flipping the tables is the consequence of what happened to those in the courtyard. So imagine this. There were tables that were flipped. That immediate impact are people's livelihood. The monies that they were making might have paid for the food for their family that month or that night, or maybe even the rent for that week. And that was destroyed by Christ. And so if we look at that and everybody says, well, he always forgives, and he was making a point. He damaged livelihoods because what they were doing was absolutely wrong. And what they were supporting was absolutely wrong. So it's not to overplay this piece of Christ's aggression, but it is to be very clear that there is a line that ultimately we have to understand, because things cannot be crossed there. The many reasons around that flipping of tables, I've talked about that before. It gets in with Babylonian money magic. It gets in with the suggestions of what's actually going on in the temple with the Pharisees. It gets in with the whole principle of the Pharisees and what they were doing and trying to buy their way to heaven. But these are big issues, and they're massive issues enough to say enough is enough. Now, Christ has warned before that even when the night when Judas betrayed him, that he could call on God to bring down a wrath of angels. He made it clear, but he was trying to show the world a different way. But we also are reminded that wrath is absolutely real. All Christ had to do is to turn to his Father, turn to God and say, bring it, deliver, and it would have been done. And there would have been nothing in the way to stop it. But he was trying to show this other way, to awaken people to realize that you have the power within you. And one of the big things is to be able to stand and never bow and never give in. The paths that we walk right now are very, very critical. We have to be very strong. We have to be very focused. And there's very real consequences for what we do. If we lose, these consequences aren't small. It's being shown to us right before us. And this is one of God's greatest gifts in this moment in time. You're seeing everything that's happening. There's no hiding the evil anymore. We know exactly what they want to accomplish. They're saying openly that, for example, last night, Qantas Airlines came out and CEO and said, you're not going to travel unless you have a vaccine and you're wearing a mask. You have the reveal that has come out from the publication of the CDC in July that has stated openly that they have plans to quarantine people in their home, quarantine neighborhoods, and move people to quarantine camps. That's a nice, soft way of using COVID for a fascist rule with internment camps and whatever else they have in mind there. This is very real. And the process that we're in right now, if we continue to allow people to sleep, they're walking off a cliff. And I don't know that there's a coming back from that. There's a group of people that are going to insist on getting a vaccine. There's a group of people that insist on the government protecting them. And I don't know that we can rectify that or unify that. Perhaps we can. Maybe God's bigger plan is to totally awaken his children, and I'll accept that. But I also know that unless we fight, we are not fulfilling our role in this fight. And that means that we have to defy. Christ flipping tables wasn't being compliant, it was being defiant. Christ was defiant in his entire walk, and if there's one message in everything Christ was doing, people should look at this and realize how strong a warrior he was, because he was defying. Who walks into the temple with the Pharisees and calls them out for their insidious things they do? I mean, that is bold. That's using his voice and his spirituality and his presence as a sword. He's literally slaying those right before them. This is what our walk is. Look what we're doing. We're spreading truth. We're breaking through the matrix of lies. We're pushing the truth in front of people saying, look at this. And we're doing it not just by words, but by action. And that's truly where we have to live. Whatever that consequence is, well, I don't know where this takes us. I have no idea. But what I know is whether death or life, it's glorious either way, because I'm not wavering on this path. And maybe it's a horrifically painful death. Then laugh along the way, patriots, because you know you've already won this. You know you've already won this walk with God, and there is literally no other way to be right now. Never, I think, has it been so strong of a position and stand than on a platform of liberty and faith. It's the knowledge that goes with liberty. It's the strength that goes with faith, and the two combined gives us the wisdom that God has provided us. And that is such a powerful place. It's such a freeing place. And it's a place where there is such a thing as a line of tolerance and intolerance. We have to know those lines. And that's part of what, in my reading of the Bible, and I put this here carefully because I'm not, those that have followed me know I feel very strongly about being a prophet. I mean, when I say that, saying things on the behalf of God as if God intended or God spoke them, that is not what I'm saying here. And I leave this to you to think about, because in my reading of the text of the Bible and through my prayers, this is my understanding and how I live my life. And I live my life with those lines that I seek always to walk closely with God and in that path of Christ. But I accept that there has to be a strength of a warrior and there has to be a line of tolerance and intolerance. Otherwise, I become worth nothing. If I tolerate every single thing, just like, oh yeah, it's cool, no problem, then what is it that I stand for? Because I can't stand for everything and be something. The difference between tolerance and temperance, there's a big difference here, because once it starts to encroach in my life where I'm supposed to accept it, like we're supposed to accept that Satanism is equal to In God We Trust. That is basically where we are right now. I can't go there. That is not going to be something that I go there with at all. So this is where we end up with this absolute nonsense coming from who should be our strength of faith leaders in this nation saying we're in a post-Christian era. No, what you just said to me is you just sold your soul, because I'm never living in a post-Christian era. I'm living in right now in the era that God is strongest and most alive ever, which means it's a Christian era, because God doesn't leave. God doesn't suddenly go on vacation, throw you the keys and go, hey, yo, guess what? I'm done. You all have this post-Christian thing going. You let me know how it goes. I'll catch up with you in 1,000 years. That's not the game we're playing here. God never forsakes his children, ever. But when people say things like we're in a post-Christian era, you have forsaken God. And you've forsaken your solemn duty and your responsibility as a child of God to stand and to fight regardless and to never, ever give the enemy an inch. The war is real. The spiritual war is deeply real. And the spiritual war constantly wages war on us, on our lines of true faith and our willingness to accept weakness, lines of compromise, and ultimately concession so that we give in. And it's all done through deception and lies to wear you down to such a point that finally you go, okay, well, that's all right. I'll just accept that. Yeah, okay, cool. I'll accept that. Whatever, man. I really don't. I'm just tired of telling people about God. And it's just like, whatever. Okay, I'm done. At that point, the enemy's won. I will stand proudly to the end, whatever that looks like. Proclaim my love and my faith in God. And if that means I get walked off a scaffold, then I'll take it, because I'm not going to waver. And that resolve, that fire, has to be right there in every single one of us. And coming in this period now, it must be as hot and as burning as ever before. Because we are heading into some very challenging days and weeks ahead. And we have to be very clear where we stand. So let us join in prayer and celebrate this amazing time that we are in. Please join me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, on another day of prayer, of bended knee prayer, as we assemble across the world and across the country to join ourselves with you as one in truly a powerful connection through prayer and faith. Lord, this battle is challenging and probably the most challenging we could ever imagine, because each one of us, though we are part of a mass army united through prayer and faith, fighting on this digital battlefield, we also, each one of us, have to be strong on our own. We can't look to our left and right and suddenly find the fellow soldier. And that, Lord, is the most important message, because we understand truly, Lord, that we must turn to you to find that strength, because it is through you that we connect all of us together. It is through this prayer, Lord, it is through these days of faith and unwavering commitment to light and your word that we're able to stand up to the enemy, fully armored in our spiritual armor, and never to waver, never to fall to those lines of deception and concession, to truly have a love and appreciation for our fellow man, but to truly have a line that we will not cross when we confront evil. It is what we seek, Lord, is to heal and to bring all those together and to bring your children together. But we also accept that lurking in those shadows, there is such a thing as true evil, and we must stand to that evil. Because it's only then when we stand do others see that strength and they're able to break free and join us here. And so, Lord, we pray for that strength. We pray for that guidance. We're reminded in Psalm 7:11, God is a righteous judge and a God who feels indignation every day. We know your judgment is true. You know your judgment is fair, but we also know that there is such a thing as wrath. And so, Lord, we stand here pushing to awaken as many as we can. We ask for that strength to continue to awaken this world as we do. And we equally ask for that strength for us to find the temperance and grace and the strength never to bend or give in any way to the darkness that seeks to suck us down into the paths, the easy paths that lead to death. So let us stand, Lord. Let us be that gleaming light that others need to see. Let us always be reminded of the lessons that Christ gave us, both spoken and unspoken, that we can see him truly as the warrior king that he is. And let us never forget what sacrifices were made for us. And so we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. Our path is a path of a warrior. Our path as patriots is a burning flame that never quits. It is the eternal flame. It's the eternal flame lit that's put in us by God, by the creations of who we are as children of God. We are of him. Never forget that. That means you carry a legacy of something to honor, something to protect and defend. And as we now face an evil that wants to strip that from us, this should push you to a level of righteous indignation unimagined in your life. It should be an absolute clear mission that no matter what you do every day, you absolutely will not give. I love my fellow man. I will never bow to evil, no matter what. Patriots, our mission right now has to be stronger than ever. We are fighting for the future, not just of this nation, not just of the Constitution, but of the future of humanity. That means we are the vanguard as God's children to awaken the many that are trapped within the matrix of lies. It's a mission. It's not just a thing. It's not just a cool deal on Twitter. Every single act you make is an action towards pushing God's word to reunite the strength of his children, to awaken them all. There would be no greater gift we could give to God than to say that we were part of awakening everyone. That's idealistic because not all will, but that should be where we seek to go, because at that place, once all are awakened, we all reconnect and unite as we were made. And that's the mission we fight. But in that process, we will encounter evil. It will be before us. And there can be no mercy and no acceptance of evil. We stand in the face of evil, and we stand there, and we don't budge. David slung a stone, and he toppled the giant. We each carry that, and we each carry that fearlessness and that need to never, ever waver or bow. Use that fire, patriots. Every single day, we hit the digital battlefield. We fight relentlessly. Right now, that fight is to expose and help people realize how deep this fraud is. And what it means, it's not just that your vote is taken, it's that your very right of the most important gift God gave us, our right of free will, is being stolen from us in a system that was built on free will and choice. Think about the magnitude of this. This is a country built on the principles of we the people, a governance that is accountable to the people. That means it's built on the very foundation of one of the greatest gifts God ever gave us, a choice to choose. And these people are saying, you don't have that right. We're stealing that from you. And in the worst way, we're making you think you have it, but you don't have it at all. Dark to light. It has been revealed. And now our righteous indignation, that fire can never stop burning. It is our obligation to fight, fight, fight. Patriots, you have a blessed day. Head up, eyes forward. Be relentless, be ruthless, and stand as close as you ever have to God and to our King, Jesus Christ. You have a blessed day. So thanks for tuning in. Remember, if you like the channel, please hit subscribe, like the episode, and share it on your favorite social media forum. The Bards FM podcast can be found on Podbean at www.bards.fm. You can also find the Bards FM podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, YouTube, and BitChute by entering Bards FM in the search bar on the respective apps or websites. Also remember to check out Bards of War Fighting is Everything documentary at bardsofwarfilm.com. That's bardsofwarfilm.com. Buying a copy helps support these podcasts and future film projects. And if you would like to support the channel with a donation link is below. All podcasts are written and produced by Scott Kesterson. Opinions expressed are the individuals only. Interpretations of events are the sole rights and opinions of the podcast presenter and guests. Bards FM, Bards of War, Fighting is Everything, and Expedition Cafe are trademarks of Scott Kesterson and Expedition Cafe. All work is owned and copyrighted by Scott Kesterson and Expedition Cafe. Thank you again. You have been listening to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, out for now.